You may know you're listening to this show along the Marketing Podcast Network, but did you know there are other great shows on MPN to help your business? Christy Hyler hosts a fantastic podcast called Own It. Christy, tell us more about the show.
Own It is all about celebrating women and non-binary advertising agency owners. We talk about buying out of the Boys Club of Advertising because less than 1% of ad agencies are owned by women.
And where can people subscribe?
You can find the podcast at untilyouownit.com. We're also on the Marketing Podcast Network at marketingpodcast.net. And of course, you can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
You heard her. Go subscribe.
Hey, brand builders. I hope to see you live and in person at this fall's 6th annual Social Brand Forum. Digital marketing smarts in the heart of the heartland, right here in Iowa City, Iowa. Join past on-brand guests like Jason Falls, Melissa Agnes, Marcus Sheridan, and more. Listeners of the show get the best rate when they use promo code ONBRAND. Learn more and register now at socialbrandforum.com.
Welcome to On Brand, a podcast for brand builders by brand builders. Here's your host, Nick Westergaard of Brand Driven Digital.
Hey, brand builders, have we got a show for you? This week's guest is Nicole Ertes. Nicole is a recognized global brand strategist, best-selling author, and speaker who has helped build many of the world's finest and most powerful brands. Her thinking has been embraced by companies such as Beam Suntory, Wrigley, SC Johnson, Mike's Hard Lemonade, Johnson & Johnson, General Mills, ConAgra, Kraft, and Nestle. Nicole's success in global innovation and brand leadership gained her recognition in Forbes, The New York Times, and selected to be one of Crain's Chicago 40 Under 40. Based in Chicago, she and her team transform brands and cultures and train business teams to become free-range thinkers to thrive in the age of unpredictability. Free Range Brands is available on Amazon, or you can sign up for free tips and tricks on how to build a free range brand at freerangebrands.com. Follow Nicole on Twitter at Free Range Brands or at Nicole Ertes. That's NicoleErtas. Nicole, welcome to On Brand.
Hi, Nick. Thanks so much.
You know, it's not every guest whose name and Twitter handle I spell out, but recognizing a kindred spirit in having a double vowel inside of a Twitter handle, as I myself do.
Right.
I have gotten into the habit of saying Westergaard with two A's when I'm when I'm audio only. So
right, I understand.
Help point people in right direction. So welcome to the podcast. And I guess it seems like a great place to start is as we go through the handles, as we go through where to find you, as we go through all of the URLs and book titles, Free Range is a very big part of that, a free range thinker, a free range brand. What does it mean to be free range as both a thinker and a brand?
Well, I'd say at a very high level, it means preparing for unpredictability and setting yourself up as an organization or as a brand or as a business team to be able to let go. Because in this branding environment that we live in, which, you know, as we know, has changed so radically just over the last few years, if we still operate from an old world model of command and control, which is how many of us were taught to build brands, it simply isn't working anymore. And so the idea is how do you transform from a brand that was built for control, for one-way messages, you know, to be able to hold on to everything and protect your brand, to be able to let go and let your brand live in the world and be part of a community. So that's a free-range brand.
That's great. So how does one go about doing that, of letting go of your brand? Because again, like you said, it runs counter to everything that we're taught, which I don't know that we've ever had a conversation on this angle, but you know, we talk about a lot of different kind of modern brand dynamics, but it does seem like control is one of them at play. And us used to being in control as the brand builders from the broadcast era with our perfectly crafted message, and we will send this to you until you adopt it and understand it, budget permitting. But now, yeah. That's not the case. So, one, how do you help brands seed control, and how do you kind of advise brands to be okay with that?
Right. Well, I think one of the key premises of this whole idea is that we have two very distinct objectives that we're trying to fulfill. And I think a lot of people don't even realize that they're trying to do it, but they come at odds with each other. And we talk about them a lot in marketing. And one is authenticity. You've got to be authentic. And another one is being relevant, right? But if you think about those two ideas, they're really opposite. You know, authentic is very static, and it's what we learned as brand builders, like you just described. We build brands that have this brand equity that is, you know, something we build over many, many years, and we repeat the message and we stay true to one very key point and message, so we don't lose sight of what it is we're trying to say. But in today's world, the conversations are changing on a dime. And if you can't be relevant to what's going on in the world and constantly reimagining and reinventing and kind of, you know, bringing your brand to life in a way that's relevant to the conversations that are going on, you're going to have a really hard time connecting. And so how can a brand be authentic, which is fairly static, mm-hmm. and relevant, which is very dynamic and changing at the same time? And so that is really how I see brands need to, it's a balance. And how do we do that? And that's really what the core of this is about. It's about how do we transfer our inert, static, you know, long-standing brand equity that we've worked to build into what I call brand currency, which is dynamic and transactional and reimagined, and it can travel with you. And so the idea is not to be one or the other, because if you're too far on just being relevant, you could easily become lost and ungrounded and inconsistent and chaotic. But if you're too far on the authentic side of the spectrum, you could wind up being boring or, you know, irrelevant or very static and not conversational. So the idea is, how do you transform that equity into that currency so you can be both?
Well, it almost makes me think of, as we talk about the stages of branding and brand building, it almost seems like, you know, authenticity is like this one, you know, precipice that we get to, this one plateau going up the mountain. And then we get there and most, frankly, struggle even with authenticity. So I think many are thinking, we can't even get our minds around that, on sounding like someone consistently, on adopting a unique brand voice, much less being able to endow it with that flexibility to be a part of this fast-moving world.
Yeah, and that's the trick. But I think what we've seen, and at least what I've observed, is we embrace these notions, like you just described, like we've got to figure out our authenticity. But then we get to the end of the road on that as a brand team, and we don't quite know what to do with it. Or this idea of brand purpose. You know, I think every brand team now has their narrative figured out, but it's kind of just like pinned up in cubicles and, you know, on their About Us section of a website. They don't really know how to activate that. And so the idea is we've adopted these notions in theory, but we don't quite know how to activate them. And so the idea here really is, they all matter. They all have a place and they all have a purpose. But how do we create the entry points for your consumer to become the hero of the story and create an active brand narrative? And so I would say, when we think about what is a free-range brand, a brand, and when I boil it all down, the key difference, if you had to look for one thing, if you were saying, is that a free-range brand or not, is who is the hero of the story? we were taught as brand builders, we are the hero. The brand is the hero. It's the hero shot. It's the brand can't be, pictured anywhere outside except the kitchen. There are these rules that would surround how you build your brand and how your brand is seen and looked at, and all very contrived when you were in a position of control. But the brands that are really able to let go and build community are the ones that have turned to recognize that they have to make the community the hero. And when you make the community the hero, then your brand becomes the facilitator of the conversation. And when you make that shift, everything starts to fall into place. And suddenly, all of these concepts that we seem to have bought into, a narrative or an authenticity or being relevant or whatever, seem to take their shape. And I try to create a structure around that to what I call creating entry points for your community to engage with you versus trying to tell your community who you are and what you are.
I love that. So do you have examples of, who you think of as kind of a go-to free-range brand?
I'm a big fan of Taco Bell, really, because in this environment, if you think about our foodie culture and millennials, the kings of foodie culture, what brand would have had the hardest time trying to serve up Mexican food besides Taco Bell? That should have died a death a long time ago if you think about the product from or the brand from a functional perspective. But because they understood the idea of moving from a platform of food as fuel to food as experience, what they've done is created a cult-like culture. And the food is no longer the menu. What's being served is no longer front and center. It's all part and parcel of serving the culture. And so when we think about Taco Bell and how they have 7,000 stores, that they are all rallying around a single culture. To me, I love that idea because it says it doesn't matter how big you are. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter that your products aren't, invented in the age of, pure, in this case, authentic Mexican food. You can find your authenticity. And I think, when we see some of the younger brands, they were born out of a noble purpose. They were born out of maybe an entrepreneur who had a great vision. Whereas some of the older brands, the legacy brands, they were really not conceived in a time of purpose. They were conceived at a time when, the glass cleaner just needed to clean the glass. It wasn't, didn't have to do something any more than that, So, but the idea is anyone can own anything. You really just have to determine what is an appropriate purpose for you and how do you embrace that. And really, when we think about purpose, like I said, I think a lot of brands feel that they need to do it, but they don't really get why they need to do it. And the reason why they need to do it is it's the beginning of the conversation.
Yeah, I love that placement and the logic. I mean, and that we don't understand the why behind purpose. It kind of is one of those things that is easy to get checklisty with and think, we got to have one of those. And then, like you said, it lives on the cat posters in the cubicles, but not really in any day-to-day activities. Well, yeah. And Taco Bell is such a great example, too, because I always think about them, what they're so good at that's easy to get lost in how fun their message is. I think sometimes when things are fun or funny, we often skip all the careful thought that went into that. But I think that they know their community so well. And that it's easy, again, to say that it's just them being funny for the sake of being funny, as opposed to thinking about how well they know their people and how well they can build messages and build a story that offers many points of entry, as you note.
Yeah. And let's remember, they didn't just get there overnight. They got to know their community so well because they engaged with their community. And that doesn't happen when you're just pushing out one-way messages over social channels. And I see that with a lot of the traditional larger brands is that they're still applying old models to modern tools and modern media platforms. And these media platforms don't work the same way, and you need to adapt to the culture. And so understanding that really requires you to say, well, what am I going to talk about that's beyond me?
Yeah, well, and I think, again, back to the idea of kind of getting checklisty with your branding, I think we look at older models, but we also look at all of the new stuff and kind of arbitrarily check it off, as opposed to thinking about what we can do here that is unique and different.
Right. Right. And what we can own. I mean, today, brands need to recognize their power. It doesn't even matter how big or small you are, but it's almost like the smaller brands have recognized it and the bigger brands haven't. I get the question a lot, what can the small brands learn from the big brands? And I don't even see
it. That was going to be my next question, by the way.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't even see it that way anymore. What can the big brands learn from the small brands? I mean, for so long, the big brands felt like they were immune to any of these ankle biter brands. They couldn't get in the stores. They couldn't get onto media. They couldn't, really penetrate. They couldn't reach a threshold of production or cost. So they really didn't feel that any small brand was really going to be a threat. And boy, did that change. And now what we're seeing is a lot of big brands, when I'm with my bigger brand clients, the brands that they are looking towards to want to emulate are the smaller brands. They want to know how they can be more like them. And it's fascinating to hear that question.
I love that. And size, big versus small and who's looking to who. What about another way of looking at that in terms of looking at the dimension of time? If people are listening and thinking, oh boy, we are, the ship has run ashore, what can someone do to start writing that trajectory and being more authentic and relevant and purposeful with what they're doing?
Well, I think it all starts with that. And I often start the question with, what is your obsession? What is it that wakes you up in the morning? Whether it's an entrepreneur, or often an entrepreneur can answer that question much more easily than a bigger brand. But the idea is really this one entry point, and one of the first entry points is this idea of building chemistry. And a way to do that is, how are you seducing your audience? It's not about solving. It's not about selling. It's about how are you, what I call in terms of a consumer persona, attracting your lovers. Because lovers want to express themselves through shared values. And if your brand shares those values, then they'll value you more for who you are than what you are. So who are you? And how can we humanize who you are? And when we get into that space, that really starts to unlock a very unique point of difference. Because what happens is, in our traditional positioning models, we talk about how our product is functionally different than the competition. But in this model, which is more of a platforming, I call it, it's really more about, what is your obsession and what is it you value? And this really centers around purpose. And then what is it that you are doing to further that purpose? And what your product is only a piece of that. It's not the story in its entirety. Your product needs to live within that space, but you actually have a lot of leeway and permission to go into spaces that don't even necessarily fit your brand entirely. Like every health food brand thinks they need to do something with wellness, but that's not necessarily true. You look at Adidas, they're doing, the new collaboration that they did with Parley Shoes and Save Our Oceans and Minimize Waste. And they made a shoe that was made out of 100% recycled ocean waste. that sold out within hours. And so people like that you have a bigger idea. It doesn't necessarily have to fit with a shoe, you know what I mean? Or a piece of attire. You really have a lot of latitude to embrace a purpose. What's most important is that you truly go after it and you live by it.
Well, I love that. And I love the idea of kind of making sure that you, in everything that you do, that you're kind of marching towards that flag you've planted in the ground as a purpose. And I think that I love the idea of, you know, easier to find with an entrepreneur, but what gets you out of bed in the morning? And I think if you find that, that you're closer to finding what it is that you're marching toward day in and day out.
Yeah, and that's going to open all your doors for social conversation. I talk about entry points, and so a free-range brand has multiple entry points. That is really the first door that needs to be examined and opened. But then it becomes transcendent. Then you can have conversations with anyone on anything because you know your point of view. You know what you stand for. You know what you like, what you don't like. I often liken brands to like a human going to a cocktail party. You're not going to go to the party and just talk about yourself over and over and over again with one static message. You're going to ask questions. You're going to get into dialogue, and people are going to like you because you develop kind of an expected personality of what people expect to hear from you because they start to know who you are. And that's what a brand needs to do. And in a sense, people think a purpose always has to be something very noble and earth-shattering and changing. It really doesn't. Because if you look at Urban Outfitters, their purpose is really just to be a provocateur, you know? They're really on the edge. And if they ever pulled back from that, if they ever just kind of got into the middle of the road with bland kind of attire or board games or, you know, oddities that really were more mainstream and not so jarring, that really would be not true to their brand. So, you know, their purpose is to really push those buttons. They're not solving the world. They're not solving the world's problems, and that's okay.
No, but it answers that purpose question, too, of why they're here. I mean, because there's so many, I mean, that's a great category, too, so many clothing companies in the world today. And I think that, you know, so many operate kind of in that Me Too mindset that we all kind of exist for the same reason. And that's how you all end up sounding the same, looking the same. And you create that kind of parody problem.
That's right.
Versus being someone that stands for something, it is easy to see. You know, you should be able to, you know, walk by their store and get their point of view and get what they're about. And I think those ones, I'm now dwelling on the clothing category, those that are struggling are the ones that you can't say, well, it's really about this. I mean, you pick on like Gap and kind of everything in the Gap, Banana Republic, Old Navy triumvirate. They used to be a little more different. They used to stand. I mean, even kind of the flagship Gap stood for something. Mm-hmm. And now I think they don't know what that is.
That's right.
And
yeah.
It's evident in their product and their messaging, and you know, are closing stores as a result of it.
Right. And just kind of on that, along those lines. There, if you think about Lululemon, right, this is a brand that really went through a lot of challenges a couple years back when, you know, that brand came out strong and standing for kind of a state of mind that aligns with a yoga, you know, Zen way of being and an all acceptance. And, you know, they came out with a very strong culture. But when Chip Wilson, who was the CEO, kind of fell from grace because he made some off color comments. He suggested that not all women should actually wear their yoga pants because maybe they're not, you know, thin enough for his pants. And really started to show this ugly wizard behind the curtain of the brand. You know, that brand took a major tumble. They were ridiculed all over late night comedy, and he got ousted. And so, you know, not only does a brand have to stand for something to not fall victim of irrelevancy, but they have to live up to what they stand for. Because had Urban Outfitters done something like that, no one would have batted an eye, because that's part of their brand. It's, you know, they say those things. But when Lululemon says something like that, that's not okay.
Yeah, well, and that kind of gets back to understanding your purpose, understanding your people. And to your earlier point on flexibility on where your brand can go, if it's outside of kind of the realm of something that is, you know, advances that purpose, which again, his statements were not, you've got a problem.
Right. Right.
So, Nicole, as we start to wrap up here, what is a brand who has made you smile recently?
Well, I don't know if you saw that recent Dollar Shave Club ad for Butter Safe Than Sorry, butter as in shea butter, I think. Uh-huh, did you see that?
I did not see that one.
I almost can't even describe it. It was somewhat pornographic, but it was, I love brands that have the courage to take a chance and are spot on with their personality and who they are. So this was a product that was marketed to men for personal shaving, let's just call it that. And they used some pretty provocative fruit arrangements to be able to communicate their story. So you could probably provide a link to it in your show notes, because it's really just a visual. But I love the Dollar Shave Club, Safe Than Sorry campaign. Because when most brands tend to kind of dance around sensitive issues, I think today consumers really, really love it when brands just talk straight to them and give it to and talk honestly. And I think this campaign just nailed it.
I now that you mention it, I have seen
the came out.
You might the provocative fruit arrangements in my Facebook feed. And yes, as you were saying that, we will link up to it if there's embed the video in our show notes so that everybody can see what we're talking about. But I think that that's a great example, too, of everything that you've been talking about, because I think the final note is that I think too often we focus on kind of sanding out those sharp edges of who we are.
Yes.
Like there's probably a, you know, you probably could have had a few too many meetings on this concept and really taken everything interesting out of it, under the guise of making it safe and good for all time zones. But they know who their people are, and more importantly, they know how to stand out. And I think that's harder than ever. And I think it takes creative, free-range approaches like that.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. Thank you.
You saw what I did there.
Yes, I did.
Nicole, where can we send folks to learn more about who you are and what you do?
You can follow me on Twitter at Free Range Brands, or go to freerangebrands.com, where you can subscribe to a weekly or biweekly newsletter where you can get tips and tricks of what brands are doing that are different, and give you some ideas on how you can maybe apply those to your brand, and get a weekly challenge about some things that you can maybe try to do with your brand. And you can find the book on Amazon, Free Range Brands.
That is great. freerangebrands.com, at Free Range Brands on Twitter, and be sure to check out Amazon also. And we'll link up to that in our show notes as well. Nicole, thank you for joining us on Brand.
Thank you, Nick.
And before we go, I always like to flip the microphone around to our community. Recently, Matt Collier, who was a guest just a few weeks ago, gave us a shout on Twitter for our episode featuring Bill Samuels Jr. of Maker's Mark a couple of months ago. So both Mac and Bill, thanks for being on the show. And Mac, thanks for being a listener as well and giving a shout out to that episode on the story behind the Maker's Mark brand. And a reminder, if you like something on this episode or another, or if you have a question you'd like one of our guests to answer, let me know on Twitter using the hashtag OnBrandPodcast, and you may just hear your thoughts right here on the show. Last but not least, you can find links to everything we talked about, Free Range Brands, better safe than sorry, and more at branddrivendigital.com. You can subscribe to the show via iTunes, Stitcher, and TuneIn. Speaking of iTunes, if you like what you're hearing, head over there, give us a quick rating, review, help others find the show. And remember, On Brand is brought to you by my book, Get Scrappy, Smarter Digital Marketing for Businesses Big and Small. Order now wherever books are sold and check out GetScrappyBook.com for special offers and extras. Until next week, I'm Nick Westergaard, and I'll see you on the internet.
This has been the On Brand Podcast, presented by Brand Driven Digital. For show notes, links, and more, go to onbrandpodcast.com. Remember, you can subscribe to the show and leave a rating and review at iTunes and Stitcher. Thanks for listening.
This podcast is heard along the Marketing Podcast Network. For more great marketing podcasts, visit marketingpodcasts.net.